Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Terumah. And the Parsha begins with the understanding, Daber B'nei Yisrael v'yikuli truma. Tell, speak to B'nei Yisrael and have them take truma for me. Eis kolish hasheyidvenu libo. Take the truma from whoever donates it. Now, it sounds like that's a contradiction in terms. On the one hand, we're told to take truma. On the other hand, it's supposed to be donated. Why does the Torah tell us on the one hand that Moshe should take the truma, at the same time that the thing should be donated and not coerced? So, what's the message to be contained therein? Reb Leib Chasman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, pointed out that this is similar to a child who doesn't want to eat. And later, as the parents are trying to convince him to eat, he's convinced to eat for his mother's benefit. Reb Leib notes that we think we're doing the same. We donate thinking we're doing it for Hashem, but really we are the true beneficiaries of our own actions. And so B'nai Yisrael are told to take Tcheles Argaman, Tola Shani, Sheish Izim. We're told Avnei Shoam v'Avnei Miluim. Later in the list, it seems to be more expensive. So the question is, are Avnei Shoam really more expensive than the Tcheles and the Argaman? So Rav Gedalia Shor Zatzal explains that Avnei Shoam came with the desire to donate, and that which comes with Ratzon are considered more important to Hashem. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal added that the donation that comes from hard work is more important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're told, V'asuli mikdash, you should build a mikdash for me. Now why did the command to donate come before the command to build the Mishkan? Why do you take a donation before you know what you're donating to? Should the people know what they're donating to before making the donation? So Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shlita says no. He knows that once the people donate to Hashem, it's the act of the donation itself that places Hashem in each of their hearts. And that's something that sometimes we need to pay attention to. It's not whether my money is going to pay for the seat or the row or the bench or the sefer or the aron, although sometimes we highlight things that way. The key thing is that I'm building a mikdash, I'm building a mikvah, I'm building a beis haknesses, I'm supporting a yeshiva. These are all things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. Then we're told Moshe Rabbeinu is to go ahead and build an Aron HaKodesh, and on the Aron HaKodesh he's supposed to make Shnayim Kruvim, two Kruvim. And the Torah identifies the word Kruvim twice. Why is that so? And what does it mean? Because in Sefer Bereishis, Rashi tells us Kruvim are Malachei Chavala, they are angels who cause damage. Now, when we meet the Kruvim, we're told that they look like little children. What are they supposed to look like? Dangerous angels or little children? Says Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein Zatzal that when you give a child a good chinach, you bring him closer to the Aron. He'll be as protected as a child. However, when the child is not given a good and honest chinach, the child is distanced from Ohel Moed, and he becomes like a dangerous malach. Chinach in our lives is such an important role, and it's so dangerous. It's like a cherev hamisapeches. Torah can be used in one way, Torah can be used in another way. Chinuch can be looked at positively. Chinuch can, a bad one, Rachman al-Litzlan, can kill a child, and in turn, the child can turn around and look back on us. We know that is certainly the case with one child who later grew up to become the communist leader, Leon Trotsky. We're told that in regard to the Kruvim, they had to be made miksha, from a solid piece. Miksha te'asau, some Kruvim. That they're supposed to be made from a solid piece. Now, why do the Kruvim have to be made from one piece? And according to the Gemara Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis Amed Beis, the Kruvim have to be made from a single piece of solid gold. Why? What's the message? So, Rabbi Yamin Firer, the author of the Hegeon Shel Torah, he explains that the Kruvim are symbolic of the Jewish people on different ends of religious Judaism. Yeah, we may differ on certain hashkafic stresses. Some may be a little bit more kosher to Eretz Yisrael, some people may be a little bit more kosher to the Lev, some people may be a little bit more kosher to, Lomdus. They're all different hashkafic stresses, but they all emanate from the same source, from the same Aron. And when they realize that they are more similar than dissimilar, the Shechina rests between them. And that's something that happens when you're dealing with the Kruvim, and it's a critical message. We're told that when you make the Krushim, that they are the beams that come together and form the walls of the entire Mishkan, they are to be made Atzei Shitim Omdim. They are to be made out of standing cedar wood. Now the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis uses this pasuk to teach us that we're supposed to do mitzvahs in the way that they grow, right? So that this way the krashim, like the dalet minim and the other mitzvahs, are to be held and utilized omdim in the way that they grow. So Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal learns that we are to learn that the mitzvos are a means for us to grow, not merely things we have to do. Mitzvos are not what we do, they're what they do to us. Rav Amital Zatzal added that there's an additional message to be learned here, that we're proud to walk, proud and walk upright when we do mitzvos. We're not supposed to be downcast or embarrassed. We don't need to hide when we go ahead to daven or to walk around and do mitzvos. We need to be proud to go ahead and do mitzvos. We're also told that there's a concept called the Mizbach HaKetores, but it's interesting to note that the Mizbach HaKetores, this idea is not contained in Parshas Truma. And the question is, why not? Why is the Mizbach HaKetores stuffed later and in the back of Parshas Tetzaveh? What's the message contained therein? So Rav Shechter Shlita explained in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that the main point of building the Mishkan was not merely to have a place to bring karbanos. It was to have a palace for Hashem. Now a palace needs to have a shulchan, it needs to have an aron and a menorah. It doesn't need to have a mizbeach. And hence, that's not in the original parsha about the Mishkan. But it is important to bring karbanos in the palace, and so therefore we stick it in later, after we talk about the Binyan. Initially, the goal of the Mishkan was to have a place for Hashem Shechina. It includes other things, but those are part of the secondary message. Finally, in the Haftarah this week, we meet Shlomo HaMelech when he's building the ultimate palace for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Beis Olamim. And when he does, he turns and he blesses the people, Habayis Asher Atabonah, the home in which you're building. Now, why does the Haftorah speak of the home that Shlomo is building? By the time he built the Haftorah, the home was already built. So again, Reb Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shalita explains that while the structure and the architecture might have been completed, a home and a kedusha are always being built. It requires constant renewal and active work to keep the homes functional and optimal. Our homes are also, hopefully, constantly in renewal. And by building and strengthening our homes, we continue to make it a place that's always under construction, that always is a place that becomes a place where the Shechina is. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us that ability to always be builders, and may we continue to build homes that lead to the ultimate home, the Beis Olamim, that will hopefully be rebuilt speedily in our days. Shabbat Shalom to all.